Frozen Shows is filmed in front of a live Twitch audience. Hey everyone, welcome back to Bros and Shows. I am your host, Josiah, aka Mahler67. And with me, as always, you know, I got my buddy, I got my pal, I got my brother Austin. Austin, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. How about everyone out in the Twitch world and you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty okay. I got hit with the sudden levels of the sleepies currently going on in my brain. I'll survive though, because we got a show to do and we need to talk about Disenchantment today. But
last season so far.
Yeah, the last season so far. Did they say when the next season's coming out?
So there's been hints from the writers on Reddit that they are going to be doing, they're actually busy on Futurama, and there's a lot of conflict with the Futurama revival and the Disenchantment, so they have to work that in. And then there was some conflict with Eric Andre's schedule too, so they were like, hey, we kind of want them back, so they kind of hold off for a year, because usually it comes out every year, and this one came out last February, so. You know, this February happened and we didn't get another season, so they said that they're going to hold off probably, but they haven't confirmed that they're doing it. They just said that they're hinting at it.
Yeah,
hopefully it still goes on, because I really enjoy the show, but I can totally understand because it is on Netflix. But Matt Groening also has a reputation of having shows canceled and then being revived. So, we'll have to see,
I think he has a reputation of one show being canceled and being revived.
What's that other show? It's not really good. Oh, shoot. There's another show, but it was only revived one season after that. And it wasn't a great show. I forget what it was. I'll have to look it up. But yeah, it's just the thing is, it's Netflix is a little harder to do series with, how I've heard about how the algorithm works, their algorithm of how viewership works and how their computer does all that stuff.
The issue with Netflix is the fact that they release everything in chunks, so they don't know the actual people's retention time for it.
Mm.
And the two biggest algorithm things that they check for are completions and new account completions. That specifically is the two biggest thing on renewal thing. So it's if an account gets completely finished, all have gone. Sound the horns. But if a new series draws in people, if someone makes an account just for a series, that looks good on the show. If if a show is completed within the first week that it comes out, that also looks really good. So that's basically all the setup as it is. Other than that, that's kind of, those are the two biggest factors in the setups for if a Netflix show gets it. When a show like Disenchantment kind of happens, it's a slow burn show. Not in the form of not a lot happens. That's not what I mean by that. I mean, when you get it, you're not trying to binge through every episode of it. Mm-hmm. It's not one of those things that it grips you till the very end, which, it could, depending on your style. But it's very much you're going to enjoy the pace, and that's when shows have issues, the whole thing behind Sandman, why it was so unsure, was because people weren't binging it all in one week. They were watching it through a series of weeks. And so the algorithm didn't know, is this good? Is this bad? Is this in between? And so that's where a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows, man? Who knows? I think it will be renewed. If it's already on four seasons and it has a story being told, if anything, Netflix will just be all right, we're not looking to renew it past the fifth season, so can you finish it in the fifth season?
Yeah.
Or, you know, we can sell it, that deal thing, if you really want to continue and we don't want to get. I think those are the most likeliest options.
Yeah.
Austin, we kind of skipped over it because I started just talking about the show. What'd you do this weekend, man?
So this weekend, actually, since my, you know, my daughter is going to be born in August, I kind of like have to start doing things differently. So, I love doing like board games and Magic the Gathering. So, I decided to, instead of every Tuesday I go and play cards, starting after, I like playing those games. So, I had to like come to a conclusion that like, I can't go every Tuesday because Tuesday's like kind of a hard day, but I can plan for a weekend where, you know, my wife can go stay at her mom and dad's with Chloe. And so we decided that once a month I could do a game night at my house. So I got to do a game night this weekend. It was a lot of fun. We played Baldur's Gate, Betrayal.
It's called like Mentor or something like that, but it's like a, yeah. Or maybe it's not Mentor. It's
Baldur's
Gate. The hill, but Baldur's
Gate. Yeah. Yeah, we ended up like getting no traitor. It was a troll, and we all had to like get Alchemist Fire to destroy it.
Did you have to kick him off of Twitter?
Yeah, we had to completely. It was a lot of fun. We played that. We played a couple games of Magic, and then we played Forbidden Bridge. Is like one of my favorite small games that I've been playing lately. It's one of the games from the 90s that I love that I never got to own until now. So I'm super. I've been playing that a lot with my friends, and they enjoy it too. It's just a small little board game that only takes about like 20 minutes. And then really that's all I did this weekend. I just been busy and stuff. Usually on Thursday nights I do overnights at my work and I do it like an hour away. That is going away after this week, because they found a spot where I can do an overnight that's just down the road from me.
Ooh, that's
so
nice.
Yeah. So it's a lot easier and it puts me more at ease cause I'm not driving 45 minutes to an hour to get to work. Instead, I'm just driving like 3 seconds down the road and then I can be close to my wife if anything happens. So, you know, but yeah.
Don't
so
mind
how,
me, I'm just disrobing.
Whoa. How was your weekend?
My weekend was fine. We did VTM, which is funny. You mentioned board games. We didn't have it at the normal place we had at the place at the society. Instead, we had it at a player's house because the historical site was booked. So we went over to one of the person's name's friend's house, and him and his wife hosted us. Much bigger of a house. A lot more people came, and a lot more people were able to do stuff. And after the game, we ended up playing board games as well. We ended up playing board games after, so we got there around 12:30, and Trent, in his room, has this big table. Well, in one of his rooms has this big table, and the whole wall is a giant bookshelf that is just littered with games. And we ended up just sitting there talking about board games for a while, and we ended up playing this game. It's like Maki something or Red Hot. It's like a building dice game where you have your buildings and every turn you roll a dice. And what you roll on, you get. And there's three different types of buildings. There's blue cards, which activate on everyone's turn. So if I roll a one or something like that, and you have a blue one, you get money. You have red, that's like, that is a negative effect for other people. So if like I roll one, and you have a one red, it will say like, I have to pay you a gold. And then it has green cards, which only activate on your turn, and they normally pay you more money. And the whole thing is that you have these, I think they're like attractions or monuments, I think is what they're called. And you win the game by buying all your monuments. The game gets very hectic, very crazy, but it's still very simplistic. It's just you roll. Do you have any of the cards with the numbers on? Does anyone else have cards with their name? Do what needs to be done. And what ended up happening, we started at 12:30. And Trent and his wife were like, we've never seen this game turn this way. basically what happened, it became a bow of attrition for everyone. Because three of us all had red cards stacked up the wazoo. And so the second someone would get a red, like a number that was a red card that was good for them, it would activate, and then everyone would just steal each other's money. And there was never any money to buy monuments. Because no one was able to like gather money because everyone kept taking each other's money. Mm. And we basically ended up calling it around 2 o'clock and we're like, all right, we gotta go.
Yeah.
But it was a great time. We did that. Funny thing, you mentioned Betrayal. I got to try out / play the Scooby-Doo Betrayal game.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Betrayal on, like, Betrayal at Mansion, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much a kid-friendly betrayal.
Because
your characters don't die. One of you become the bad guy. Because what basically happens is when the haunt gets revealed, one of the players gets KO'd. It's like the Scooby-Doo scene where like Velma touches a bookshelf and it switches and the monster's there.
Yeah.
It's like that. You're still technically Velma, but you're not playing as Velma anymore and your character gets removed from the board. And then upon them beating the monster, you come back and you get to share in the victory because you weren't evil to begin with.
That's fun.
I got screwed over because we got a mission where I was playing like a Redbeard pirate dude and I have to stop them from an objective. Normally it's the monster has an objective. In this game, it's the players have an objective. And what they had to do is they had to get the treasure from my boat into the car to keep me from winning. All I had to do was just, you know, waste turns. No one explored the outside. So the boat, it's like, if the boat isn't played, reveal the boat and place it closest, place it farthest away from the car. It was 2 spaces away.
Oh.
They literally made a change and just went do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, finished me in 3 turns. And I was like, I got no, like, there's nothing I can do. And yeah. Trent laughed because he's like, yeah, you just got RNG'd out, dude. Like, yeah. I've never seen a game go like that. That was terrible. So, yeah, that was my example of it. But it was very simple, very fun. I definitely, if I'm thinking that for Christmas this year, for Ruger Whalen and Greta, I think I may buy them the game because that is a great game for them to have. It's Scooby-Doo. So their mom and dad could probably play it too. It's not that hard. Kids can easily understand it and parents can easily understand it. It's very simple. So even if they don't play it or whatever, like, I don't think that's going to be a bad gift for them.
Yeah.
And then if they ever want to play with y'all, you know, play with it. Yeah. But anyways, Austin, you know, enough about Betrayal on House of the Hill, Betrayal on Scooby-Doo. As a parent, I don't understand. As a parent, you, I'm scared. Do.
I'm terrified
of this technology. But Austin, outside of the betrayal there, let's talk about another betrayal in the form of Disenchantment season 4.
Yeah,
Austin, see. How many times have you watched this season at this point?
This is actually my most watched season.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I've watched this season probably about I'd have to say 5 times. The reasoning why, though, is different from usual things that I usually do, where I go back and I mean to watch them. Mm-hmm. The 2 times I did get to, like, I watched it 3 times by myself. Like, I watched it 1 time, and a couple months later, I watched it again, and then I had nothing to do at work, so I just put it on as background. So I was like, yeah, cool, you know, because, you know, I do listen to Futurama a lot, and I like Futurama's background noise. But the thing is like, sometimes I like to switch it up, and Disenchantment season 4 was on there. And then the other 2 times was 2 other people that I know watched the show and they were in the middle of watching it. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll watch this.
It with y'all. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did, you know, it's fun to, like, you know, sit down with some friends and like watch a show and just laugh, you know? So, you know, my buddy, her cousin, Mikey actually loves this show, and me and him sat down and he was like, hey, have you watched the new season? I was like, yeah, I have, like, 3 times now. And he's like, well, do you want to sit down and watch a couple episodes? I was like, yeah. So we just sat around and played darts and watched Disenchantment. I had, like, a lot of fun. And then the other person was one of my friends here in Mount Vernon.
they actually haven't watched it, and they're like, hey, let's watch it. I was like, okay, I'll watch it again. I don't care. I actually like this season a lot more than all the other seasons. So, but yeah, this is my favorite season, I have to say, because it's the most I've watched of it.
Okay.
Just because, like, there is a lot of ridiculousness that happens this season, and Zog as my character, I love Zog's character in this. I die every time. Oh, someone redeemed some points. You gotta go get the cat. Where's the kitty?
We're in the middle of the podcast, and I thought the cat was right behind me, but she booked it.
So, she'll be back.
Yeah.
When she comes back, I'll snag her up. Yeah, so... No, so... I don't know. I think Zog's character, especially when he goes to the mental asylum, I really enjoyed giggles. I liked his, like, roommate giggles, where he's like...
Roommate, yeah.
Yeah, one of my favorite lines from the show that I repeat on sometimes when I'm playing like games where like you know, it's like PvP or something, or someone dies, I'd be like, hey, when you're done dying, could you put your head on the shelf? Like, could you put your skull on the shelf? I don't know why I thought that was so funny. Like, I laugh hysterically when I first heard that. It's like, hey, keep it down in there when you're done, you know. He's like, how did you dig a hole? He's like, with my grandma's skull. You just see that self.
Yeah, you see the skull up there, and just like, ah, grandma.
Grandma.
Honk. Yeah,
that's yeah, the honk. And then, but you know, we also get to see Zog come out of his insanity this season too, in a way. Like, he becomes like a monk.
The monk part made me like, I enjoyed that part, especially whenever they're like, he's not here, I've never seen him before. It's like, well, we can't go back empty head. Take that guy. Wait, what? They take Joe, and he looks up, and he's just like, Porky, do something! And Porky's just up there staring down with him in contempt. That made me chuckle.
I just feel like there was a lot more character development this season than most of the other seasons that we've seen with certain characters. Like, I think Zog had a big character arc. We got to finally get some answers to some things, like Elfo's parents, which you were spot on, you were right on. You said you were like, well, it's probably gonna be something stupid, like an ogre or something.
It's because of how it had set up, right?
Yeah, they foreshadowed the crap out of it.
Yeah, they foreshadowed the crap out of it. They almost threw it through the wrenches when they introduced Trogs, because I was like, well, Elfo shares a lot of resemblance with Trogs, like, to the point where I could see him being a half elf, half Trog.
Yeah.
But to me, I'm like, it seems dumb to give the whole illusion like, Elfo, your mom is blah, without ever being introduced to the concept of what they are. Because we never see Trog until the end of last season, I think it was. Because she gets rescued by Trog. Or was it this season? Geesh, all the seasons have been blended together. Like, I know each season's, like... I know when it is a climactic end, like what happens, but I forget which season it is that the endings happen. I will say there was a point in this season I thought it was at the end, and they're like, no, we're gonna keep going. No, oh,
yeah,
okay. I thought whenever Bean got placed in the mirror realm, that's where they were going to end the season, and then oh no, I still got two whole episodes. Dang,
that and the whole tragic like one of the episodes this season that like was very sad to me was the episode where Zog goes back to his lover that's a bear.
Oh yeah, Ursa.
And you come to find out that he has a son, and then she ends up like dying in the fire. Which is voiced
by the daughter of the son, the clone of Farnsworth from Futurama.
Yeah, so what's really funny, now since you know this, that's his son, if you go back and watch any of the seasons, you'll see that his son pop up in random places when they go through forests. He'll just like pop in and be like, hey, like you won't notice it. But then like when you start rewatching, you're like, wait a minute, that's his son. Like
they just they just threw him in there at random points. And they're like, what is this bear?
The episode where Matt, they go get like, they try to go get the, they try to go get like the coin and the weaponry and the army from like the pig.
Matt Berry's character. Yeah, when they go through the woods the first time, the bear pops out. Like, he just pops out of the bushes and then pops his head back in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was last season. So, yeah, like, throughout the seasons, they, like, put him in just, like, in the background and shove him in. A little, like, kind of like how we're, like, in Futurama, where if you watch all of Futurama and then you get to the point where, like, Nibbler is the one that put Fry in the freeze thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then if you go back to the first episode, you can see it, like, a shadow of Nibbler. So, like, it's, you know, Matt Groening knows what he's doing with stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then
it's because he predicts the future and he's actually a time traveler.
Whoa. Yeah.
It's the truth. Because, like, all the Simpsons, Futurama, and, like, you can't plan that whenever you make a pilot. So, regardless of what people want to say, like, he's a time traveler and he's the only essence of a time traveler we have on Earth. So. No, I did find it funny. I mean, it is nice to know that Ursa isn't dead, though.
Yeah.
Because we do see her at the end. She's one of the captives that the one dude has.
Yep.
So there's still chances of happiness. I also think they did that as a failsafe.
Yeah.
And the failsafe being if they got a lot of negative views of the bear child. If people didn't really like the bear child, then they're like, okay, we have an out that he can go back to his mom. Yeah. It'll be all right. If they do like the bear child, he can stay and the mom can just be a recurring character that can deal with it.
Yep.
It's very simple. Very basically what they did with Una.
Yeah.
And Una can basically, everyone just for some reason wants to be separated from Zod but have children with him. That's what it seems like is the story of this show, because every single one of Zod's child is with a different woman who does not want to be with him, but who's alive in a way and comes back continuously. So, I mean, man, if you're able to do it, if you can function like that, whatever. What can I say? Proud to you.
Well, that, and we also, there was a little Futurama Easter egg.
Yeah.
In one of the episodes this season. I don't know if you caught it.
The comic book?
Oh, no. I forgot about that one too. Yeah. No, there was another one. Actually, Baby Zoidberg shows up.
Oh, okay.
So the episode where, like, Bean goes underneath the castle and finds, like, those weird elves that are, like, got treasure and stuff. When she's swimming down, if you look at the boat, Baby Zoidberg pops his head out and looks out through the window and then comes back down.
Okay.
It's like a quick one. You know, he likes to put those little hidden Easter eggs on there.
Yeah, during the episode where Lucy finds the nerd library, essentially, and he looks out the comic book. One of the comic books, Futurama, has Leela flying. So
that, and I wanted to ask you, what were you excited when Jerry came back?
I was happy that he came back. Yeah. I was like, I felt like he got the short end of the stick, and so whenever he got to come back and play honestly a continuous role in the show, I was happy because I was like, yay, I like this
guy. He's a good character. Yeah, like I like him as a character.
I like him. He feels good to me. I think that's great. There was a lot of characters in this season that I was like, I'm happy that they're here. Well, I'm also kind of like, you know, like, how do I say it? They're at the point now in the story that I could see it going maybe one, maybe two more seasons of a story, unless they expand it more. But I'm watching it. I'm like, it feels like it's getting close to the end of the story, or at least of the arcs that they have shown.
Yeah.
Like the whole Dagmar arc seems like it's coming to an end within the next season or two.
Yeah, cause she's now the, what was it? She's the matron of hell.
She's the queen of hell. Which, to be fair, I knew that was going to be her whole ploy from the get-go. The second she's all like, oh, you got, when Lucy started talking to her in hell, I thought it was her mom possessing Lucy's body to like lie to her and say like, oh yeah, you should totally out devil the devil. Like, I feel like that would be the number one thing that all demons would know, don't do. You can't out devil the devil. You know? And then whenever she's all like, oh, all you need now is a blood contract, and she takes the dagger. She's like, she can't be trusted. My brain's like, this is obviously going to be a situation where she's going to break free or she's going to swap out. And that's what she did. She swapped out. Which I figure what they're going to point out in fifth season, which I was waiting for them to do in this season, is the contract is null void.
Yeah.
Because she is not the Queen of Dreamland.
Yeah.
The contract was specifically to the Queen of Dreamland.
Mm-hmm.
Just because your daughter forces you to sign with blood does not mean you become the Queen of Dreamland.
Dreamland. Yeah.
And so I'm like, there's going to be something where, obviously, her mom wants the power. She always wanted the power. And mm-hmm. now that she has the Dream One's head, she can affix the crown to her and get whatever she wants, like whatever power that is, or whatever magic yeah. she has. I think it's still going to like blow up in her face because she's not really the Queen of Hell, because she's not really the like Queen of Dreamland.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be a thing. I think that, yeah, I don't know.
I think the reason, like my theory ever since I watched this season was I really think that crown could reverse the curse that's on Dreamland. That's why she's doing it a certain way where she looks like she's the bad guy, but actually in reality, she's not. She's just trying to help Dreamland. That's what I feel, maybe. Like, she's... because they talk about the family curse like multiple times.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then you come to find out that like all of them are like dying of like these weird things, but then people aren't dying. And there's like some type of weird thing with Dreamland. So I was thinking like maybe she's going to be able to break the curse, or Bean will. Because we also see like Bean, you know, she's shooting lightning bolts out of her hands and stuff like that. So she has magic.
Yeah.
You know, so like.
So,
you know,
so here's my thoughts, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think Bean's going to break the curse, but I think the curse was actually placed upon Dreamland by the mermaids.
Mm.
Now, here's my theory of what I think went down, right? Mm-hmm. Is that the elves originally owned Dreamland, and originally the original Dreamlanders live there. It would make sense for the Dreamlanders or Zog to try and go and take over the kingdom, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And upon them doing so, they betray the mermaid person that we found down in the water and kill the elves, like kick them out of their kingdom, essentially. Mm-hmm. And I think it was the mermaid girl who placed the curse, or the elves kind of did. And it can only be lifted once a, like, I don't know how to put this, but basically like a bonding between mermaid and Dreamlander Zod's lineage works. Because mm-hmm. the whole concept of her loving this mermaid person who just keeps going away and is always there to save her, very innocuous. And why would they choose one of the people inside the elf like village to be a mermaid who got killed alongside the elves?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, that seems too much on point. Mm-hmm. That I'm like, I feel like that's going to be the end of it. Cause like the whole first season was about Bean getting married.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, it would just come full circle where Bean's able to marry for love, and that love breaks the curse of Dreamland. And I assume the curse of Dreamland is going to be something to the line of like, it's either going to do something with the actual dream setup, which doesn't make much sense. Two, I think a part of Dreamland is this idea of like tragedy, of just like everyone you love will die constantly, mm-hmm. or they'll never be able to leave, essentially. Because Zod kind of made a reference to that in this season that I found kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever he's like, you know, they left and they're never coming back. And he's like, no, they'll come back. They always come back. Like, you can't get away from, you can't stay away from here. You have to come back. I'm like, maybe that is the curse. Like, once they took over Dreamland, they couldn't leave Dreamland, and they were stuck there permanently. And that would make sense. Like, that would make sense for them being like unable to do it. I think that's going to probably play an important role somehow. I still really want to see Mary play a very important role. I'm so happy that she was more prominent in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
When she finally gave a name, and like Lucy calls her Mary, and she's like, "You're the first person who ever used my name. He's like, yeah, no problem. He's like, I'm going to tell you a secret. I'm actually not all that bad. She's like, I'm going to tell you a secret. I'm not very good at mopping. Like, oh. Like, and then the fact that last season when they had the whole the kingdom getting invaded, and they're like, oh, what is it? Are you? Oh, is that a broom? Like, well, it's an enchanted broom. It's like, are you some form of wizard? Well, now that you mentioned it, and then she runs away. I'm like, I feel like this girl is going to be revealed as the old, like, she's going to be connected with the kingdom of the elves before the elves were a thing. Because that's the ultimate confusion I have with this show right now, is that elves were like, this used to be our land. Like, this is where we used to rule. But why is there a mermaid, like, queen or, like, commander there? I don't understand that form. How do the trogs fit in? What about this goo? What changes or is special about the goo that is important to people? I assume it's some form of drug. Like, because they mentioned how they gave it to Bean and Bean's going to have to come to them for more of it.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay, there's something there. But I just assume Dreamland wasn't originally the elves' kingdom, but rather like a giant kingdom of multiple beings. And maybe the curse was placed upon it by Mary, and Mary's watching it until the dream can be, until the curse can be dropped. And then she just fixes everything. She's always with a broom. You know who also always has a broom? A witch!
It's a witch!
It's a witch!
She weighs more than a duck.
She's a witch. They'll scratch you and you'll turn into thralls as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting theories that I've read out there about, like, stuff. That there was one theory that I read about Sisterio being actually an imposter.
Who's Sisterio? And I can't remember.
He's Billy West, the one with the hat.
Oh, the mage.
He's like, I have elves blood. Yeah, stuff like that. Supposedly he's an imposter, and he's cast the whole kingdom under, like, some type of trance, but he doesn't know how to reverse it. And the only person that knows anything is Mary. And supposedly Mary is just waiting for the right time to, like, do something. Like, I've seen, like, that theory before. I've seen the other theory of why Steamland and all the other kingdoms are kind of way different from each other. Like, they're not united. They don't, like, really, like, help each other at all. Mm-hmm. And the reasoning why is because the debt that was paid to the devil needs to be repaid. And they all know that it's Bean, so they've been pushing Bean to, like, do that debt. But Bean's actually going to be the one that reverses it, because someone said that the painting that Bean is in, like, I forget which season that was, like, season two?
Well, they showed it multiple times. Go on.
Yeah, that they state that actually she has to be the ruler of hell now, because the debt that happened was, someone in Dreamland made a deal with the devil so that they could capture, like, make the elves leave Dreamland. But then there was, like, a backfire that the devil had, like, something in their contract was like, oh, you know, you guys will be able to have magic, but, you know, you're stuck in this. So I've seen, like, a lot of theories on different things like that. And, you know, because, like, most, if you ever, like, watch, like, movies about the devil and, like, you know, he'll give you everything you wanted, but then, like, there's, like, a bad end to it too. So, like, that was, like, kind of a thing I read on Reddit, like, a long time ago. And I was like, huh, that kind of makes sense. Like, and then, you know, them breaking the deal, like, the contract, does that mean, like, the spell is broken? And, like, a lot of people brought up in this season was, like, it wasn't broken yet because Bean never married him. Like, it was, like, Dagmar who actually became Queen of Hell, and she actually is not the Queen of Dreamland, so the prophecy doesn't happen yet. So, yeah, that's the stuff that, like, I'm interested in. I like the whole mystery around, like, what's going on with Dreamland. I really want to know. But I like, what I like about this season so much is because we got to see, you know, like, characters become, I think, you know, like, they overcome a lot more stuff. Like, Bean and her whole, like, nega self, pretty much. in like the mirror realm or whatever. I really enjoyed that storyline. I thought it was great.
So that doesn't that still doesn't make sense to me. Like the, they'll probably do like a throwaway line at some point, but it's like Bean's in her dream world. Ooh, wow. Oh, but once Dream Bean takes over her body, you can see her through the mirror. What? It's a dream. So, like, obviously they need to explain that more, which I'm sure they will, because, you know, it's Dreamland. Dreams are more powerful there. Like, that could make sense. I think it's going to be interesting to see what they do with it, just from that point of view. I do find it interesting that Bean drank the juice and nothing happened to her other than... Nothing really happened to her, because they don't even have a concept of what it does.
No.
The only person who has yet to drink it is Alpha. And we know for a fact that, you know, when Lucy drank it, all he got was wings. Only wings sprouted from him. That's it. If Bean drank it, nothing seemed to happen, which means Alpha has to be the one true savior. Which also makes sense, because he's not really a half elf. He's not really an elf. So he may not be affected the same way the elves are with the goo.
Yeah.
And who knows? However, I will say this. If this series ends with Alpha drinking the ooze and becoming like a beautiful human, I'm going to be very upset.
Yeah, I will too.
Because it's not even the fact that it's like, oh, we did the whole Prince Charming thing and Alpha now can marry her. It's because the fact that it's like, you did because you wanted Alpha to marry.
Yeah, you fan serviced like way too hard for that.
Well, it's not even fan service. It's like, okay, cool, it's Shrek. That's what this was. This was Shrek. Because she literally marries an ogre.
So does that mean Lucy is a donkey?
Lucy is donkey. He's just the evil donkey.
That makes sense. Makes total sense. He's donkey.
But like, yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of things with this series that, like you said, still has to be explained, still have to do stuff. It's going to be interesting how they explain and do more story. Also, I will say this. I do like that Bean and the mermaid's a thing, because I thought they had actually pretty solid chemistry while they were on scene together. So I like that. And I'm glad that they didn't do the same thing that happens with Zod every season, where he loves a woman and then the woman leaves and it's just like, Bean basically had that, but she kept, anytime Bean would fall in the water, she was there. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, she wants to be with Bean, but
yeah, there's something holding her back.
Yeah,
that and like one of the most annoying characters showed up again, and I love him, and that is Laughing Horse. Which is John DiMaggio.
Used a lot, because you got Laughing Horse, you got Freckles, you got King Zod, like he's all over the place. They're really using
What did you think of Freckles? What did you think of his storyline this season?
I mean, we still don't even know what the heck Freckles is.
Yeah, right? I don't know.
Well, you okay, so here's the thing. We know that Clyde and Bonnie are able to possess a doll too, or at least use a doll as a functional thing. So I'm wondering if the doll is less a possession thing and more of like someone controlling it. And my thought process is like, okay, who of the characters would benefit from controlling it? There could be many things. The first character that comes to my the first characters that come to my mind is like Satan himself, or the Steam guy from Steamland. I think what would be more interesting is that it's actually Zod's dream, because just how in Dreamland Bean's mind thing was able to take over her during Zod's like crazy times is whenever the doll became more active, and now the dream version of him is in his doll and it's living and functioning. I'm like, that would make a compelling interesting situation where you find out that the reason why Zod is doing better now is because his evil dream version of him has went into this doll to become actualized. It would also explain why he sounds like, why it's John DiMaggio.
Yeah, it's John DiMaggio.
It, like, that'd be great. I will say the lack of Matt Berry in this season made me sad.
Yeah.
But it was counteropted by the increase in Jerry, which I'm always a fan of.
So Matt Berry actually came, like, a lot of people asked about that on Reddit, like why Matt Berry wasn't part of it, but he had so much conflict in schedule that he wasn't part of it at all because he had What We Do in the Shadows. He was in Book of Boba Fett at that time.
Oh yeah,
the robot. And yeah, and then he was in, oh, what's that movie? Oh, he did a voice in a movie. I'm trying to think that it came out around that time, but I'll have to remember it later. But what it was like Matt Berry was just, at that time, Matt Berry's career started really taking off because, like, What We Do in the Shadows was...
I would say, well, he's always in America, been active. Yeah, it being more streamlined in America. Because here's, like, the thing. All he needed was that single thing to, like, get him into the scene
and
in America.
Jackie Daytona was
Jackie
the scene
Daytona
that got him in
was the thing, man. Like, the fact that he had the best character, like, funny moment in the season with one of the most beloved actors in America, with Luke Skywalker, I can't think of his name.
Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill, thank you. I was thinking L the whole time. Like, I
can't. Oh man,
Mark Hamill. It basically solidified it. Like, everyone knows it. I'm part of the VTM, and everyone freaking uses that GIF. I was like, I'm Jackie Daytona, abnormal human being, man.
Being. That's not even my favorite line from him. Like,
oh, I there's so many great lines from him. Yeah, but that was the one that, like, got everyone laughing because it's like,
The two ones that do stick out is the Jackie Daytona one, and then the newest one is "You are the most devious bastard in New York City." Mm-hmm. Like, that's been used as a meme so many times. I'm just like, I love it. I love that people like Matt Berry. And what was it? Someone actually said that, like, they wanted him to be in the Mario Brothers movie. Like, they said that he should play, oh, what was it, Waluigi? They think that he would be a good Waluigi. And I was like, I don't know how I feel about that, but maybe, like, a Wario? I could see him playing Wario. That'd be cool.
I don't think he would do a good Waluigi.
Yeah.
Wario is kind of, like, 50-50 with me. I think they're going to just go with more high-profile actual, like, because Matt Berry has done both. He has both been a voice actor and he's an actual thing with it. I think there's honestly better people they could pick. If they do, like, another Mario movie, which they will, because the first one was such successful, he should be one of the kids. Yeah. He should definitely be one of the kids. I'd be down with that. Specifically, I think it's, like, Beethoven is his name. Like, the first one you fight that everyone sees and they're like, ah, it's him. Or Ludwig. Mm-hmm. He would do good Ludwig. I don't know. I don't know anything about Mario. My opinion doesn't mean anything. But yeah, like, I don't know, man. This season was fantastic. To jump back onto Disenchantment itself. This season was good. I thought it was probably... Honestly, I'll say that this was probably my favorite season of all. I like you said, the character development that happened this season was much better than all the other ones. There was a couple, like, obvious, like, okay, whatever, like, we get. But we also got a lot of weird backstory explained in things that no, like, just even, like, little snippets, right? Yeah. Like, when you find out that King Zod never killed any sea creatures, right? Mm-hmm. But they monumented him in the center of the town as if he killed the sea creature. Which, honestly, that could tie into the curse as well. I forget, they explained it. What was the whole story of that? I just watched it a couple days ago when he does that. But then, like, they all thought he killed... Oh, it's because he loved a mermaid, too. He loved a mermaid, and they all thought that he got, like pushed under or whatnot, and then he came back and they're like, oh, he killed the mermaid, and they immortalized him in the statue because of that reason. I'm like, maybe that's part of the curse, you know? Not even like a full-on curse or whatever like that, but it's like a longing for each of the different heirs of the throne to wish to marry a mermaid because that would break the curse and they don't realize that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or maybe just all of Zod's legacy is just... They really like animals, man. Because he loves Ursula, man.
Yeah, he does. Ursula. And I like the Ursula storyline. I like that whole
I do too. I like Ursula a lot. I think the one thing that was funny to me is how Zod basically said, like, hey, you have to live here or we can't be together. It's like, why? Just go and see her every now and then, or have her come into town whenever she wants to, and like trade off the kid in the weekdays and that stuff, and then stay with her for a week, and then she can stay with you for a week. Like, you don't need to live together there. And honestly, at this point, Bean's basically running the castle. Just adjudicate the throne to her and go live in the woods. You don't need to come back to the city. Just live in the woods. It'll be great, man.
I always got, like, after you said that before, I was like, yeah, it kind of is that way. Like, if you really love someone and you know that they don't really fit in, like, at the place that you're at, if you really want, like, that true love, like, you're going to make an exception for certain things. Like, you'd be like, well, I have to be the king of this castle, but, you know, you can go do your things in the forest and stuff like that. Like, you know, that's why, like, it's a good story arc of you can't change people for who they are, like, to be the person that you want them to be, but who they are as a person. Like, you don't change those people, like, their personality or the way they dress or the way they look, anything like that. So, like, you know, it was a good story arc of just saying, hey, you know, just love me for who I am and embrace me for who I am. And I like that. So I kind of like that storyline. It's nice.
Honestly, it should be. It's a great thing for it to do that. Especially when it comes to Zod. Zod very much was a kind of one-sided guy, and then they kind of fix that and change that. Do the better, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, completely.
So, yeah, I agree. There's a lot of things that needs to be explained, needs to be set up to put it away. I like I said before, I do think that this basically ends in a season or two, unless they try to continue it in some way, you know?
Yeah, it just feels like it is coming to an end. And I wish... the thing is I will say this about it, is when you have a story that you're trying to tell, you know, like how, you know, Vince Gilligan is perfect at this example, because he had the story of Breaking Bad and he's like, I told the story. It's kind of like how, you know, there was like some, a lot of like stuff going on Reddit, like the last week about Gravity Falls. And everyone's like, what's going on? And everyone's like, oh, they leaked a trailer. And it's like, then like these people started putting fake stuff up online. And I was like, oh, wow, I'm going to show Joe this. But then I researched it and I was like, oh, wait, it's been like so many years. They came out with a vinyl of like Bill singing his farewell song. And people are like, oh, my gosh, it's been 10 years. Like, they're going to come back. And
oh,
like,
yeah, that was a while ago, actually.
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing that, and people were like, oh, are they going to come back? And it's like,
Like, but what's weird is, like, it's been coming up lately because someone made a fake teaser trailer for, like, a new season of Gravity Falls. But the writer and director, I forget his name. You know his name, probably. Because he was the same guy that was with Justin Roiland, that used to write with him on Gravity Falls. No, not Dan Harmon. Who's...
Well, Justin Roiland never wrote for Gravity Falls.
Oh, no, he never wrote.
He was just a friend of
that's
Hirsch.
Right.
Hirsch.
That's his name.
That's his name.
Yeah, because, like, he even said, he's like, I told my story. Like, that's all I need. Like, you know, so I was like, oh.
Alex Hirsch. That's his name.
Alex Hirsch.
Well,
you know, he said,
the funny thing
he's
is,
like,
is
I told
like,
my story.
He's like, I told my story. That's it. However, like, he has gone the record saying that he could continue it.
Yeah.
But
yeah, he left it
wouldn't. It wouldn't be like story about Maple or Dipper. Like, it wouldn't be just built on them. I know for a while people were talking about this idea of, like, you know, it should be 10 to 20, like 10 to 12 years into the future, and Dipper and Maple, not 10 to 20, like maybe like 8 years in the future, whenever they're all teens or whatever, and they come back.
Yeah.
And maybe like continue the story or like build up that they're there now and they're able to do like intense stuff. They want to reconnect with Uncle Stan because they haven't seen him in so long, you know, stuff like that, and tell a story like that. I'd be all for that. I don't think I would be super thrilled about them making like season 3 of Gravity Falls, season 4. Mm-hmm. Like, I would like it if they did like Gravity Falls Return season 1, and it's mm-hmm. them coming back, and it's like two more seasons of them coming back to Gravity Falls because Bill Cipher's back or something weird like that, and they have to deal mm-hmm. with some more weird things in order to handle it. I don't know.
But back to what I was saying is, yeah. like, he knew exactly what he wanted. He had a story to tell, yeah. and he knew how it was going to end. And I feel like this is how this should work with Disenchantment. Not every Matt Groening show should go on forever or get revivals or, like, go to a different channel. This is just a story. Like, it's a story. It doesn't have episodic episodes. But I feel like it feels like it's coming to an end, and I would like and appreciate to see an ending for the show. I don't want another show that's just going to run on and like play, you know, that little, hey, we'll give you some answers, but guess what? Now there's a new problem here that you need to figure this out. Cause you know, it can kind of lose its like flavor, especially if like one season could ruin a show because they tie themselves up with too many problems.
Well, like, it's one of the things, like, people always tell me about Supernatural, you know? Like, people love mm-hmm. Supernatural.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of my friends who love it say, like, after the fifth season, it slowly starts going downhill to the point where when you hit, like, the 10th season, you're kind of like, I like the fact that we got more stuff, but the writing was never the same after the fifth season because it had the intention of the story up to that point. And then from there, they mm-hmm. had to keep, like, one-upping things, and it just felt weirdly one-upping, kind of mm-hmm. like whenever you play like one of those retro RPGs or whatever, where it's just mm-hmm. like, oh, this boss, he can destroy the world. Oh, this box, he can destroy it. No, not RPG. Dragon Ball Z. It's Dragon Ball Z. You know, it's like, oh, it Frieza, he can destroy plants. Oh, Cell, he can destroy the universe. Oh, Boo, he eats everything. And then it's like, well, now they're like, you know, fighting even, literal gods or something.
Well,
like
even
that.
Game of Thrones, like Game of Thrones was like, you know, one of the biggest disappointments in TV, in my opinion, because,
by a lot of people's opinion.
Yeah, like, you know, the thing is there was certain, like, at least resource until I think it was like season 4. Was it season 4 when Jon Snow died?
Well, they started deviating around season 3.
Okay.
And that's when people started being like, oh, okay, what are they going to do with this? Yeah. And then it was around season 4 or 5 that people are like, oh, they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And
because
then
at that time,
it kept
like,
going downhill because they kept reducing the number of episodes. And then nothing was happening in certain plots. And then they just kind of wrapped one up. And it's like, you're going to do that to Dorne? What the heck? Like,
And the thing is, I think the only time that a series can survive more than like 5 to 6 seasons is if it's episodic like shows.
Yeah,
that's the only way that they
can
survive. Like Friends is a way of that. The Simpsons, Futurama.
It's okay to have
so
those like
shows. Regular
story,
shows, stuff like that.
It's okay to have those stories that kind of bridge seasons.
But if you have
anything,
if you have like an overarching thing that doesn't have like a great grand storyline, because like George R. Martin said that like, he thought it was kind of weird that they ended on like just 7 seasons. He's like, I thought we were going to 10, but they didn't have the resource to like, you know,
don't try to say that they had the resources. It was completely Dan Day of unwillingness to continue the series. They were done with it. And HBO kept throwing it on them. They should have just ripped Dan Day off of it because they weren't good from the get go and just put it to someone else. Like, Don't put that bad mojo on the idea that they didn't have the resources. They had the resources.
Well,
HBO, as shown with them doing House of Dragon now, was more than willing to keep dishing out money to them as long as it kept coming back. So, sorry.
House of Dragons. But it's just like the thing is that's why like I know that Disenchantment's going to be coming to an end. Like a lot of people are like, oh, it's going to keep going. I was like, no, there's too much of it. It's an arcing storyline. It's not.
It could keep going. I don't want it to keep going.
Yeah, I don't want it either.
I think that's basically what you're saying there too.
I think it would be perfect. Like if it just ends at a certain point and it tells its story, I'm okay with that. And then maybe, you know, like you could do like side shows that have like different other characters from that. Like take for example, Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul. Are great examples of like how you can do sideshows very well. Like Better Call Saul is amazing. I like Better Call Saul better than Breaking Bad.
Here's the thing. My only thing with this is no one on this show can hold itself outside of the original cast.
Yeah.
Like if they do a prequel series to Disenchantment, that's gonna be weird. Like, okay. The whole theme of the story was this idea of breaking the enchantment, of disenchanting Dreamland. They can't do another show called Disenchantment the Beginning like that and move from that. They did the thing. They should just when this series ends, and it should end, it should probably end at season 5 or 6, depending on how quickly or how impromptu they want to keep pushing things. I think 6 is a solid ending. I think 5 should like dramatize things and set them on like the path for the ending, or at least reveal who the big bad guy is at the end of season 5. Because I will say, I don't want it to be Dagmar. I don't want Dagmar to be the final boss. I would be cool if it was Satan, because during the scene where she's like, you can't out Satan Satan, and when they say that, Satan looks at himself in the mirror and he's actually really like fat, like demon looking guy. And I'm like, obviously Satan is out. I want to believe that Dagmar is going to do all this stuff, think she's going to be like all powerful and whatnot, and then Satan out Satan's her, essentially. And it's just like, you're stupid. I've been using you from the very get-go. And the only one who caught on to me was Bean, but it's too late now. Like, I have everything I want. And then he kills Dagmar, and then it's like, oh no, what do we do now that Satan controls Dreamland? He can X, Y, and Z, or whatever it is. I think okay. This can get a little joking, or a little bit, or maybe a little too far down the rabbit hole. But it would be funny if we find out in season 6 that this whole world, this disenchantment world, is actually Dreamland, and everything is Dreamland. And essentially they're like, okay, this would be super mad if they didn't, and I don't know if I even want to go with this. Turns out that one of these characters, like Bean, is just a normal person. And she's like in a coma or something like that. You know, or like, and disenchantment is this idea that she's in a freaking coma, man.
The coma theory.
And everything that's happening is like Satan trying to take over the minds of human beings or something dumb like that. I don't know. Like, there's so many different things they could do with this. And at any point when they end it, because they have to end it, they can't continue. They absolutely cannot continue. Regardless of how much people like it or don't like it, they just can't continue it. Just make a solid ending, make it happy, or don't make it really sad. Who do we know? Don't make Dagmar be the final enemy, because I don't freaking want her to be. She's so pompous every season where she's just like, I'm in control. I just really want her to be in a situation where it's just like, you done gum played yourself, you know? Like, in Game of Thrones, one of the reasons why people really hated the ending of Game of Thrones was because certain characters who were, I'm always in control, didn't really get those moments of like, I'm not in control, oh no, I've been had. Outside of like, they tried to do it with Littlefinger, not very well done. It was honestly kind of stupid. And they didn't really do it with Cersei at all. Cersei got to die the way she wanted to, in Jaime's arm with rock falling. None of the characters who got to be like, oh, the only character who kind of got that to a degree, which everyone liked, was the mother of the trial woman, who was like, tell Cersei it was me. And that was it. But she wasn't a bad character. Everyone liked her because she was doing what was good.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I really want that to happen to Dagmar, where she thinks she's in control. She's all this like, I'm so smart. I used my daughter. I planned everything. Oh no, I was really the idiot. Satan has been using me the whole time, thinking that I had my own plan, and go on from there. So, anyways, Austin.
Yeah.
That's basically, just to make
that's pretty much short, it. Like,
I liked the series. I thought the series was good. I'll be happy when season 5 comes out, because I would like to see it continue. I wouldn't be mad if they ended season 5. but mm-hmm. I don't want them to go past season six. I think six is a solid season.
Yeah, six or seven, yeah.
I do enjoy the characters now. Mm-hmm. Basically, all the characters were good. The only character I didn't enjoy all that much this was Lucy. I did not enjoy Lucy as much. He actually lowered in my likeness.
Yeah.
But everyone else, I thought, increased. I actually liked them a little.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thought. Yeah. Austin, do you have any thoughts?
No, I'm just, this is like one of the shows I've been wanting to let you watch. I know that like you watched the first season. I was like, man, he hasn't got to like the other seasons where I think season three and four start getting good. And it's hard sometimes for people to like get past like after one season, they're like, eh, like they'll be like, I liked it, but you have to really love it to come back and rewatch it, or you don't have anything to watch to really watch this. So I was like, I'm gonna let him watch Disenchantment, because like most of the time I don't pick animation, like I really don't pick animation stuff to watch. So it was something I had on my list, and I was like, you know what, we'll do that, something that's like a little, I think he'll enjoy more than Wilfred.
Wilfred. It just, it's not a great show to talk about like each season, because it's all just theories.
Yeah.
I agree. I do want to say this real quickly before we end.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things that I liked most about in this season, which made me really enjoy her more, was her whole crutch was not I drink a lot.
Yeah,
they tuned that down a lot, and mm-hmm. I appreciated that a lot, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And like I think I enjoy her more. Same with Zod. Like Zod isn't no longer like, oh, I'm just this sad guy. He's like, I found a new lease on life. I'm gonna try to be a better person, be a good father, mm-hmm. blah, blah. And then same with like Bean. She's like, I got responsibilities, I have to do something. Solid. Yeah. Great character growth in the single season. Fantastic. I think that's why I like them more as characters.
Yep.
So, fantastic. All right, Austin. Mm-hmm. I think that basically does it for this episode of Bros and Shows and Disenchantment season 4.
Yeah.
Austin, next week we are going to watch Mandalorian season 3 now that it has concluded. So we have to watch that on Disney Plus. You know how many episodes it is?
It is 9 episodes.
9 episodes? Okay, that's not
bad. Or no, is it? Wait.
It's a number. Just watch it until it says check out more things from Star Trek.
Here, let's do this. Mandalorian. There we go. Mandalorian season 3. It is exactly 8 episodes.
8 episodes?
Yep.
JK, it's not. Prime's over here being like, it's 12 episodes. JK, it's not actually 12. Like, okay.
No.
This guy got all the jokes going on here.
Yeah, it's 8 episodes. I will spoil everyone that I have watched it. But you have not yet, I don't think, right?
I have watched, I think, 1 episode of it. Whenever season 1 dropped, I was like, oh, I'm going to watch it. And I watched it, and then each episode kept dropping, and I just...
Yeah.
I just kept watching YouTube videos. or Disenchantment.
Yeah.
Those two. So
yeah,
I'll be excited. Yeah. We can watch it again. I've
season 3 of Mandalorian.
Same boat as Joe. Cool, man. Mm-hmm. But if you watch and you finish it and you want to join us for next week, you always can. I'm always cool with having you on, Prime.
Yeah, you should totally think about those words. Like, I actually will say something that this season is you need to watch it, guys. Like, it is worth 100% of it. Yeah,
that means it sucks. Anyway, it's awful, Austin,
terrible, guys.
I appreciate you, Austin. I appreciate everyone who stopped by and said hello. Thank you so much for stopping by, and thank you all so much for tuning in.